Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you know, 504-260-1870, Ian McNulty joins us now to talk about eating and drinking. Ian McNulty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks season is here. Can gumbo weather be far away?
I hope not. Where'd you go to school? College.
Wait a minute. Are we talking the question you're asking if you're from New Orleans?
No,
where
college.
Did I go to school? Or
college.
Do you want to know where I went to university?
University, as they say in Britain. Uni. Where did you go to uni?
Yeah, see, that's a trick question because Everyone knows around New Orleans, you ask where you went to school, they don't want to know where you got your doctorate. They want to know where you went to high school.
I'm sorry, do you have a doctorate?
No, I do not. But I'm just saying, people who can accomplish the highest
like
ranks.
It seemed like we were bordering on stolen valor there for a second.
I'm just saying, Dr. McNulty. Who have accomplished the highest ranks of academic rigor will still be judged on whether they went to Chappelle or Brother Martin, or you know, wherever they went. They want to know everything about you that they can tell about your life from where you spent.
Well, now the way you're stalling,
school.
I'm thinking maybe the way you're stalling, I'm thinking maybe you didn't go to uni.
I did go to uni. I was there at the banks of the Raritan with the Scarlet Knights at Rutgers University.
Wow, my, how about that? Okay.
Yeah, that's right, up in Jersey.
So where you been eating? What you been eating? What you been drinking? What you been doing?
Tommy, I come with reports of a glorious long-running restaurant in the French Quarter that you and I have talked about numerous times in the past that closed for a brief span and reopened with a really stunning redo and that feels more than skin deep. We're going to address that. I'm going to give you a menu here. You can pick and choose as you like. We've got restaurants, restaurant that is closed to make way for another one to expand in Lakeview. Pretty interesting. The end of a long-running brew pub downtown. Where have I been eating? We can give you reports on Toops Meadery, the fantastic modern Cajun restaurant in Mid-City with their culinary rolling. Saffron restaurant. It's been a busy week. Saffron restaurant.
The world is your off-bottom oyster, so you go crazy. Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, let's talk about GW Finns. That's the one I teased at the beginning there. Mm-hmm. If you go to GW Finns, your waiter will probably tell you that the menu changes daily based on whatever fish is coming through the kitchen. And that's true. But what hasn't changed there is the decor, the design, the way it looks and feels. And it always felt fine. And when it opened, it felt great. But that was in 2001. Mm-hmm. The restaurant kind of felt like it was in the 90s because that's the way New Orleans was back then. The early 2000s were very much still the 90s. And as time's gone on, it's tended to make the restaurant feel a tad dated and, frankly, a little bit like a chain, a modern, upscale, nice chain. Well, an upscale, nice chain, like think of Houston, something like that. But I often hear people wonder, like, oh, GW Finns, I heard it's good. Isn't that a chain? No, it's not. It's a
one-of-a-kind
restaurant.
Well, you and I have discussed this before, but the name kind of lends itself to that as well.
Yes, it does. And the backstory there is that one of the founders, Gary Wollerman, is the GW behind the name. Anyway, it's been a long time since 2001, and a lot has changed at that restaurant. The original chef and partner, Tenny Flynn, he's retired, and he has a fabulous book out called The Deep End of Flavor, it's a cookbook that's really a treatise on how to cook, prepare, select, and do your most with Gulf seafood. It's amazing. I've looked at it quite a bit while writing the story that's on NOLA.com today about GW Finns. But the kitchen has been for the last decade in the hands of Mike Nelson, and he's been taking the menu in just really exciting directions. They have this artful and innovative approach with seafood. This is an upscale, modern Louisiana seafood house that shows you what you can do with it, things that you would never do at home, things you probably haven't imagined. The dry aging program for fish is fantastic. You can read all about this on NOLA.com, by the way. But the upshot was, here was all this really beautiful, innovative, artful restaurant happening in a setting that still felt like, Seinfeld was the water cooler talk of the day. And so they closed over a brief span of August. They reopened at the end of August. I made sure I had a table for that first night. And I was really happy to see what I saw. It felt still like GW Fins, but it felt like it reflected what they're actually doing today. And design can do that, right? It can set the stage. It just feels more modern, a little more refined and elegant. Same approach on the menu, same staff. You know, they kept everybody through it. There's Gary Wolman, the GW, still stalking the dining room, greeting people. This is a restaurant that's got a lot of longtime regulars, but it's also on the list for sure for people who are coming in for conferences. You know, those nice big tables, those deep booths. It just sets the restaurant up for a next chapter. And after 24 years, you know, with the partners getting up there and seeing, you know, how restaurants sometimes struggle to make a turn generation after generation, I thought it was a really encouraging sign too that this place is going to stick around if they put that kind of money and thought into a redesign of it in the midst of what have been some pretty challenging times for restaurants, from your neighborhood joints to real upscale places like GW Fins. So I left that meal feeling very upbeat about the future of the place, and by the way, had a fantastic meal. They're running a culinary special too until September 15th. I know every time we talk, I remind people that's still going on, but I think in people's heads, culinary ends at Labor Day weekend because somehow summer is supposed to end at Labor Day weekend. But no, summer continues. So do the culinary deals for two more weeks. And that's a good segue to another place we visited this week, which was Toops Meadery. You might know Isaac Toops, just the embodiment of Cajun gusto in the kitchen, but you sear that onto technical precision from his fine dining background. He came through Emeril's restaurants. And he and his wife, Amanda, run this really nice neighborhood restaurant on Carrollton Avenue near City Park. We talked about Cracklins last week, Tommy. They're one of the ones with top-class Cracklins in New Orleans. They also have a really good culinary menu rolling. I want to say it was $49, $58, somewhere in that range. It's on the higher end, but they really bring it. We had the ceviche, we had rillettes, which is this, you know, this kind of charcuterie, this pork kind of broken down into this creamy, spreadable, wonderful, unctuous paste that they put on toasts and broil, top with chopped up olives, and then moving on to seared scallops, topped with a little Cajun caviar, which is the local Bowfin caviar, over a black-eyed pea salad, smoked braised beef cheeks, ice cream for dessert. And you'll like this, Tommy, the menu starts with either a glass of wine or an old-fashioned cocktail.
There you go.
Yeah, so the culinaries have been rolling still. And we've been storming the restaurants this week. It just feels like I know things are going to pick up in New Orleans. They are. That light at the end of the tunnel is not the Orpheus big smoky train float coming your way. It actually is fall coming with some good times ahead. But it's a really good time to dine out right now. Restaurants that are usually a hard reservation, we just walk into. Last night, to Moo, which is
Hey, Ian, we had a little problem here. We're breaking up on the Zoom, so maybe we'll pick it up on the phone when we come back, because I want to hear every word you have to say, because we value and treasure every word you have to say, Ian McNulty. Hang on, Tim. Let me do this for him, if I can, because I had loaded this up just for Ian McNulty. It's the Rutgers fight song, honoring his alma mater, Ian McNulty. The Scarlet Knights of Rutgers. We'll take a break. We come back more with him. If you have any questions about eating or drinking, 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along to the aforementioned Scarlet Knight. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ian McNulty talking, eating, and drinking as we do every Friday here on WWL. And Ian McNulty, you were saying before you broke up, what were you saying?
Yes, eating and drinking, Tommy, not necessarily in that order. Remember that. It's just Friday after all. Yes.
The point there was something about an old fashioned. I know that.
Yeah, it's always fresh and new to me. Mm-hmm. Tommy, it's early September, but it is still the dregs for restaurants, and you can tell by the reservation books, and places that are usually really hard to get into are pretty easy to get into, even on same day notice. So we've been doing it up, and it's a joy to go back to these places when they're not dead slow, but they're open and they're happy to see their locals. That's for sure. This really is the time of year when locals, the best customers for these restaurants, can make a difference and kind of solidify those relationships that we love these places when we want to go around the holidays, when we have people in town or during the festivals. This is the time of year when you kind of cement that relationship with them because they need you. One place we went into was just last night, Mamou. This is a first-class restaurant, man, maybe world-class, on Rampart Street in the French Quarter, in the spot that used to be for years Mobar Bistro. It's been transformed into this just tableau of Art Nouveau swirls and flowers and designs. It feels like you've walked into a French metro station of the Belle Epoque era. And it's not just the look. I mean, the food is fantastic. It's upscale, modern French with a definite basis in New Orleans, deep running Creole, but not traditional. Really, really fabulous. Great wine list. An upscale kind of splurge restaurant for sure, but beautiful jewel box special occasion. That had a sign right outside, Tommy. It stopped me in my tracks. I took a picture of it. They said, "Oh, New York Times noted, something or other, top restaurant pick from another one of these out of town sort of listicles." And then seating available, man. Come on in. We're ready for you. It was a really special meal last night. And we got the reservation just the day before. On same caliber, Uptown Saffron, which is the upscale Indian restaurant, a family affair there for sure. But doing just world class treatment of modern Indian cuisine. This is not your typical curry house at all. This is a highly aspirational, ambitious restaurant that hits all those marks of fine dining, but does it with the just mesmerizing flavors of India and a nod, more than a nod, an affectionate embrace of where they are.
Would you say a curtsy? Would you go so far as to say a curtsy?
Okay. I would say an embrace. Okay. I would say an embrace. You've got a curried gumbo. You've got roasted oysters, but with lemongrass Indian seasonings and a puffy, toasty naan bread to sop up the juices. You've got just a fantastic treatment of red fish with this green chutney underneath and a bit of a yogurt sauce on top, but just that seared, seasoned crust of black iron skillet red fish. And this is what I love about these restaurants, Tommy. It's the way that they take things that are familiar enough to us and transform them with their vision and with that technical prowess in a professional kitchen, and then serve it to you like you are a prince and the queen of Sheba there in your booth. And it makes you feel like $1 million. And, in the dregs of summer, that's a two-way street because they're really glad to see their best customers, you, the local, coming through. And you get first-class, top-notch service and a reminder of all the riches we do have in this city because we do punch so far above our weight with all the tourists who do come here and hopefully will be coming back. But year-round, if we can support them, we get to live in a sedan-sized city with a limousine-sized restaurant collection.
Let me tell you what I love about what you do and what you write about is that exact thing. Because you realize, and that's why I think you and I get along, nothing just happens, right? Nothing is just there. Nothing just, and there are pop-ups, I understand that. But for the most part, there's a lot, even with that, there's planning involved. There's a lot of backstory that's involved. And I want you to talk about the bakeries, because first of all, there's nothing to me better than an old-fashioned and something sweet from a bakery. I don't enjoy that as much as I used to because I lost a lot of weight, but you wrote about bakeries and it being a slow time of year between Mardi Gras and all of that, and I wanted you to talk about that a little bit too, because they're in business, right?
I'm glad you brought that up, Tommy, and if you want a little slideshow to go along with this, go to NOLA.com or go to my Instagram, Ian McNulty NOLA. You can check out some of these places we're talking about. Look at the calendar. It is 6 months to the week to Fat Tuesday, which, signals the end of King Cake season, sometimes known as Carnival season. It's 4 months until the beginning of it, on January 6th, 12th night, as we know it. And that's a long stretch for these bakeries. Now, the King Cake craze is intense, but it's short. It's a short window.
And I should jump in, since I've lost the weight, that alone was a blow to the bakery industry in New Orleans.
Right. Yeah, they've lost the PG
Just my
factor.
Eating habits. That has hurt them.
You're like the El Nino effect.
Exactly. Thank you. That's exactly right. It's like a Titino. What happened? Go ahead.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah, that might go in the coverage of King Cake season this year. But, it is a short season. It's an intense season. And we are at the opposite end of that season. Now, I bring up King Cake season because I think King Cakes, really the demand for them, underwrites what we have right now around New Orleans, which is a really the revival of the neighborhood bakery. A lot of cities don't have this, especially cities this size, where you can go around town and find these little bake shops and little places that double as coffee shops, and you can get great bread for your weekend at home. You can get anytime pastries and snacks and sandwiches. I love having these places around, and the King Cake business really does underwrite a lot of what makes that possible throughout the slow part of the year. And I know it sounds like a broken record, Tommy, but this is the slow part of the year. And I realized that when I walked into Hido Bakery on the West Bank in Tarrytown a couple Saturdays ago and picked up a clutch of ham and cheese croissants and chocolate croissants just to have in the fridge for breakfast after a weekend night out. And these are some of my favorite croissants, the buttery, crinkly, crisp, and they're just as good as always. But what was different? The bakery was empty. Nobody was in there. Nobody was buying King Cakes. Nobody was stocking up for weddings or receptions or whatever. It's just the slow time of year for these bakeries, and they're dragging. And I thought, it's also football season, and that entails a lot of early starts. You got 11 a.m. kickoff for Tulane tomorrow. The Saints, because the NFL doesn't think they're going to be world beaters this year, is giving them a lot of noon starts. Just like the old days, pre-Peyton Breeze, like all those noon is when the Saints play for 11, 12 games out of the season this year. That means you're getting ready early, right? You're not getting ready at noon. You're getting ready at 9:30, 10, whatever time you start tailgating or light up the stove at home or tell people to come on over and gather around the sofa sectional. Good old bakery. If you're a guest, imagine the look when you walk in the door and you pop open a box of sweet and savory pastries, croissants, and boudin stuffed tasso stuffed pastries, a spread of bagels from the local your local bakery, just a cake for halftime. Maybe you're getting some really good bread, some great baguettes or focaccia. You're making your own sandwiches. The list goes on and on. It's not just sweet stuff. There's a lot of like meat pies and savory stuff too that just makes great treats. And you can go, you can go day before, stock up and turn up in the morning with these things. They're breakfasty, they're brunchy. And it's that double bottom line, Tommy. You get something really good out of the deal. You impress your friends when you show up with this stuff or have a spread ready when they roll out of bed looking for a Bloody Mary and aren't quite ready to jump into the jambalaya. And the other part of the double bottom line is you support these local businesses when they need the boost the most, and you're helping them stick around for the good times that are coming. Carnival and fall and all the good stuff will be around the corner. Just have to get our local places along to make it there.
And you mentioned Hido, and I know you talked about Jean-Luc and Maurice's French pastries in there.
I went by Yeah, Jean-Luc is always a delight. You know, he's the old French chef. I say old. I mean, classic French chef who got into the baking business. And, you know, you walk into that place and it's this huge facility and they're ready to pump out all those ponchatoula, strawberry king cakes and everything else. But right now it's about, people ask me all the time, oh, where do you get a good pétophore? You know, like you bring a spread of pétophores to a party. It's like everyone gets their own two-bite cake. It's, you know, eat one of those at halftime, or you know, eat one if the Saints score a touchdown next to your shot of JMO. I don't know. I'm getting creative here. They have Kugelhoff cakes there. It's just these places are filled with all these Epicurean delights that are not king cake. And I just think it's been fun for me to go around in the off season, and yes, to see them slow, but also to see all these other things they're doing. You know, I went down to Bywater Bakery, down to the Bywater. That's like a full time cake bakery. But also like this neighborhood cafe with like chicken pot pies and yakimin and all these savory pastries and beautiful cookies. What you got? Levy Baking just off of Magazine Street. Haydell's across the street from there. Their bake shop down from the original main facility on Jefferson Highway. Your favorite donut shop, whatever it is. I mean, the neighborhoods are peppered with these places that can supply some really good game day treats for you. That go beyond just, you know, hot dogs and nachos, although I am making nachos.
One thing that caught my attention was the fleur-de-lis pound cake covered in praline sauce at Adrian's.
Yeah, you got to see this thing. You take a look at it, and it screams for the fork. Adrian's Bakery is a great neighborhood bakery in Gentilly. It's been around for a while. It's on Paris Avenue. Their claim to fame during carnival season is the plain king cake. They're just the old school McKenzie style, you know, no filling, plain king cake. And those things fly out of there. But I was in there one time doing a story on king cake and I saw this pound cake. And this had to be a 5-pound pound cake, Tommy. Mm-hmm. And it was shaped like a fleur-de-lis. And I just saw them just layering it with this praline sauce. You could the sauce was so thick. It was forming up even as they were pouring it on it. And just, that was it. I had to have one. They're fabulous. It's a 5-pound pound cake that probably feels more like a 10-pound pound cake by the time they're done putting the icing on it.
And then after you eat it, you can add 10 pounds onto that. Real quick, let me get to
We don't talk about the downstream effects here, yes. Tommy. We all know the reality.
We're front end, not back end people. Let's talk about some of the people that are texting in. Somebody's looking for a good gumbo now that we're getting to be that kind of season. I know you're a gumbo fanatic, an aficionado.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, I opened the show by talking about gumbo weather. That's a little aspirational, but, you know, in early September. But you look at, I'm an all-year gumbo guy, and you look at this weather, rainy, dark skies. Yeah, sure.
At least it's not 100.
Yeah, let's talk around town, you know, little dizzies on Esplanade and Treme. That's just a classic, you know, it's a fast casual kind of model there now. So it's real easy to get in, get out if you're taking that to go or just having it, you know, set up at one of the outdoor tables there. One of the best seafood gumbos, I think, is at Pesh Seafood Grill. That's a more upscale place, kind of on a par with GW Finns, like we were talking about earlier. But they have the seafood gumbo there that's just, it's right from the bayou to me. I mean, that's the kind of gumbo I expect when I'm down in Lafourche Parish, which is much different than the gumbo I'd expect when I'm, you know, over been around Lafayette or Opelousas or something. And for that, man, maybe it's Hi Hat Cafe on Ferret Street or a new one. I got a new one for you, Brocato's Kitchen. It's on Broad, near Tulane and Broad. No relation to Brocato's, Angelo Brocato's, but they're a family that have had a Jazz Fest booth last few years. Right after the fest, they opened up their po' boy shop on Broad, and they got just a great gumbo. They're bringing in the andouille from Opelousas, and it's got a really nice smoky, peppery blend. And then, you know, Ron's Gumbo Stop out in Metairie on Causeway. That's right in the name. He's proud of it. That's Ron, fellow Rhode Islander, you know, proving that these expats can get into it too. He's deep in the Rue and Trinity over there, and he's got a big following for his gumbo, deservedly.
When you say expats, it means you're no longer a New England fan. You're now a Saints fan.
Never was a New England fan, Tom.
Good for
never
you.
Was.
Let's talk about real quick before we let you go. Yeah. Somebody's looking for Chicago style real deep dish Chicago style pizza. Do they have a place here that sells that, that's faithful to the original?
Chicago people would tell you no, not at all. But I will tell you, you can scratch the itch for deep dish at That's Amore in Metairie, and a take on it midway on Ferret Street. Not traditional Chicago deep dish, but a deep dish style pizza that might get you halfway there.
That's Amore is across from Krispy Kreme on Causeway, West Metairie.
No, it's further down up off of Clearview.
Off of Clearview, gotcha. All right, thank you, yeah. Ian McNulty. A pleasure as always. Y'all just Google Ian McNulty. You can find everything you need to know. We'll talk to you next Friday. Happy eating, happy drinking. We come back, we'll get you some winning weekend winners, rather, with JR taking a break. Traffic now, WWL.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.